Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday. Final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. About 15 minutes, we'll get back into the college football weekend. Pretty crazy Saturday, so we'll get back there. Obviously, the majority of the day today has been spent on what the Falcons did at home yesterday against the Commanders, and that will be the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes as well. Phone lines will be back open at 1:40. Great phone calls at 12:40. We appreciate that. Israel did follow up on social media.
Yes, he sent this to us.
With his top five tight ends of all time.
It says Shannon Sharp from childhood, Tony Gonzalez, me, Algie.
Hang on. Don't short the people the descriptions. Shannon Sharp, childhood in Georgia.
Yes.
Tony Gonzalez, ATL Super Bowl.
Yes.
Randy Mack, true G.
Yeah.
Algie Crumpler.
ATL, shout it.
There you go.
And then Brock Bowers. Going to be moving up, though.
He's coming for you. Once again.
Coming for my day. All right,
dang
it.
I already got you at Georgia.
Can I just stay on your damn list, Israel, man? Dude, I'm over here. I need some coffee. I got cigar and whiskey throat, man. It's like raspy.
I know. It sounds good, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but
that's what they say.
Because they messed up my Saturday, Sunday, last Sunday, the damn Falcons. So I said, I'm going to do it again. Go ahead. Gonna go outside, and everybody's gone, and that's the only time, like, if she's there, she be getting, like, too loud. Like, ain't bothering no damn body, all right? And they came through, because last Sunday, I was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting outside, like, ain't this them.
I know.
But I'm running out of outside days.
Yeah.
Running out of outside days.
Still real nice over
still
the weekend,
nice
though,
over
right?
Weekend,
still
everything.
Warm.
But yeah, man, that was only, I was like, man, I ain't finna do all this.
There's something about, and every fan has this, like, there's something about the way you enjoy the afternoon games and the evening game when the Falcons win it.
Yes.
Or a couple weeks ago, the Falcons played Sunday night.
Yes.
So, right? So you get to watch the games unbiased.
Yes.
You're just happy. You're just watching. And you're looking forward to the Falcons playing. I don't know if this happened to you or not, but with the way that my alma mater played on Saturday, I enjoyed the rest of the games a little bit less.
Right.
I was like, well, who cares? Screw these guys. I don't care. I hope they all lose.
Oh, no.
Washington lost to Ohio State. I hope every team loses. They can't both lose. There's no ties in college. I hope they do somehow.
Yeah,
I don't care. I was in a salty,
mood.
Salty, mediocre mood after that performance.
Mood, but
man.
You're salty like that, though.
Yeah. I'm a salty loser.
That's all right. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, I was like, damn, let me go to bed.
Yeah, well, yeah, Georgia got over so late, you could just go
like,
to sleep.
Damn, let me go to bed.
I know. I had to sit there and watch Tennessee come back and win.
Right.
My father-in-law's all happy.
You was at the game with him. So, was it, like, you say you went to a football game with
him.
We
went to the high school game on Friday night.
I always had this feeling, whenever you tell me this, that Jim has, like, when I walk through that song, playing in his head when he walks into the high school stadium. I be feeling like the man.
Now, it was
when
a road game.
Through.
It was a road.
Okay,
it was a road game, but
okay.
it wasn't far.
Right,
and the people travel.
Yeah, right,
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like Jim
we couldn't get like we walk in the stadium, you buy your tickets, whatever. The concessions were right there, so got some snacks, and then we had to walk all the way across to the other side of the field because they were the visitors. It took like half an hour.
Yeah,
it was so annoying. Because everybody wanted to stop and talk to him. I mean, not annoying. I'm happy. Everybody loves him and all that. But it's like, I just want to go sit down.
Yeah.
They don't know me.
Yeah.
And then I get introduced to everybody the same way, which is great. This is my son-in-law, Andy. You know, he lives in Atlanta and does radio.
Uh-huh.
Some interesting reactions when you tell older, certain demographic folks in that part of the world that you live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta? Ooh. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm doing great. I love it.
Atlanta.
I love living in Atlanta.
Atlanta's awesome.
What's that like? Great. It's great. Go on. Say what you're trying to say. What would not be great about it? No? Nothing? All right. Well, I like it, okay?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
The big city down there.
The pool. Do you feel safe? Yeah. Do you? Anyway, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Tight end right, London to the right, two receivers left, pistol with Robinson. First and goal off the Commander's 7. Play action, Penix loops it here to the near side, into the end zone. Goes Kyle Pitts and the Atlanta touchdown. I don't know how you had it drawn up over there, Arch. Two plays, 76 yards.
That works.
Yeah, that Falcons was, in front by 11.
That was that drive. The first play of the drive was the pass to Bijan where he goes 69 yards. By the way, shout out to J.J. Watt for kind of subtly making a joke about that. Appreciate
it. It was great.
And then they score on the next play. Yeah, so that's an efficient drive.
Yeah, I mean, two big plays. I mean, I think, you know, just the way they use Bijan in the pass game, it's good because it gets them away from having to juke 30 people or something like that, Buck. And then overly expand. Now, they're going to expand his route tree outside of some of those formations where you might see some deeper shots down the field.
Because he can do it.
He's got good hands. Yes, he can do it, and he got enough. He's really shifty and all that. But I think that when you go and you look at how they ran the hell out of the ball, I mean, I don't think I was more mad than anything other than that Tyler Algiers had one damn carry last week. That's 16 carries, you know, and it and you needed that because right now the volume that Bijan is getting right now, you want to be able to take some of that off of. That's why you see him catching the ball outside a little bit more, not just handing it to him, but just doing a long extended handoff. And so they're trying that. Michael Penix was really good yesterday. And we talk about football character. I'm not saying that it's the end-all, be-all and everything like that, but the football character – of a player that young to be able to go back and respond the way he did was freaking awesome.
Yeah. Everyone was awful.
He was so bad at Carolina.
Everyone was awful against Carolina. He's the quarterback, and he was awful. Yes. So, I mean, he was the – I don't know, maybe Zach Robinson had more people mad at him, but Penix was the – you know, he was the lead character in that loss to Carolina. And, you know, for him to be high draft pick, expectation, all that kind of stuff – to come back and play like that against the Commanders was vital.
Yes.
And again, like, you know, we talked about this coming into the year. There's going to be some bad moments.
Yeah.
He's a young quarterback. That was his seventh start. Obviously, it's his best game, but seven starts. Like, there's not that much to compare it to. There's going to be other bad moments as the year goes on. But when you see, I won't even call that a flash because that was a pretty sustained performance from start to finish in that game. There was a couple throws he'd like to have back, certainly the interception he'd like to have back. But, like, when you see performances like that, that is what leads you to believe that this guy is the future of the franchise at that position. And a lot of people's confidence was shaken after the Carolina performance. Yep. Understandably, it was a disaster of a performance for the team. But, like, that yesterday is why you took him 8 overall when you already gave Kirk Cousins $100 million.
Right.
That's why you did that.
Yeah. You see it. You see it.
What people need. You need to see a bunch of that.
Right.
And then as it goes on, 2, 3, 4 years from now, that'll be Sunday, hopefully. There'll still be bad games. There'll still be bad moments.
You got to have them.
But, like, that right there, like that's the guy we're hoping to see for the next decade.
300 plus and 2 tugs? Yeah. That was, I mean, it was a nice bounce-back performance from him. Let me think. Offensive line, I know, and we're just having fun with it, but we're not. The Storm Norton watch is over, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's over. Because the one thing about this group up front, they play well. They have been perfect.
There's no reason to change
But there's
anything
no reason
right
to change,
now,
exactly.
Doesn't seem
there's
like.
No reason to change out if Storm comes back healthy and all those different things. The ability for them to defensively, they got a sack or whatever. Marcus didn't have a big run.
He did have a one.
Yeah.
He had that one. He snuck out.
Oh, that's right. That's
he had
right.
Like,
that's right. I'm trying to think.
Did he 20, it was only 22. It was 22 yards.
I thought he had something bigger than that.
I don't remember if it was third down or what, but he snuck out and got one good run.
But yeah, they played okay. Which they didn't give up the two touchdowns. Special teams, they still got to get that unit right, man. Especially them coverage teams got to get better. They got to get better. Now, they did okay on kickoff return, you know, as far as the Falcons. But, you know, letting McCaffrey sneak out of that one time on the kickoff return, they got to do a
he's
lot
a good
better.
Player.
He is. And he's a really good player.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, great A-plus win for this team, for this organization. Like Ross said after the game, he did – this was for the fans because, like, as embarrassed as y'all were – and one of my son's teammates' dad is a Carolina Panther fan, and he always wears Carolina Panther hat. So last week I said – well, it's going to be a long day for y'all up in Charlotte. He's like, we'll see. And so at the game on Saturday, he walked over just stared at me with his hat on. Just stared at me with his hat on.
I mean, I was up there in Carolina all weekend and saw a bunch of different Panthers fans. Everybody kind of said the same thing. They were like, they're not that good.
Right.
I don't understand. I was like, I know. I know. And the Falcons aren't that bad.
Yes.
Sometimes that happens. What I liked best about yesterday was, even after the loss in Carolina, they tried to tell us, like, well, our identity is this, our identity is that. And we said last week, like, look, You cannot tell me what your identity is.
You
have to show me what your identity is. You cannot have one game where you run the football well and then completely go away from it and tell me what your identity is. That's now two out of three games where they ran the ball like that.
Mm-hmm.
37 rushes yesterday. Now, they didn't have a great average, but they were still able to get plays when they needed them. And obviously, Bijan having 17 and Algier having 16 carries is nice. You also saw Charlie Warner in the game a lot more.
Yes.
So much about that Carolina game will remain baffling for forever.
Yes.
But I think now, you know, you've probably seen what you need to see to stick with some of that kind of stuff.
I mean, and you can see being clear because you're down on the field.
Yeah, now you're right down
there.
Yeah,
you're right down
there.
You're right down there.
Now, he did still – he's still good for a cute play or two.
Why?
Zach Robinson's still good for a cute play or two every now and then.
Did you get cute right there? I was like, no the hell you did.
They're running it downhill.
You are smashing their ass.
All right, call the Ray Ray whatever that was. Here, give it, they'll never expect it. Oh, they expected it. Dang it.
They blew that whole damn play up.
Yeah.
That whole right side was just in the backfield.
Like the couldn't have even given it to him, really.
Exactly. The play was so bad.
He just tucked it and threw it out of bounds. Like, it was so bad. So they're still in there. Those plays are still in there.
I mean, think about it. There was no really rushing right before the clock.
Nope.
Or, you know, play clock wasn't running down on that many times on yesterday afternoon. They got in. They got out. They were able to see things. And that's, you know.
They got the operation cleaned up. They got into rhythm, and it resulted in 34 points. Wouldn't you know it? All right. We'll come back and talk about some of the games that took place on Saturday. A lot of good ones coming down to the wire, Georgia-Alabama, Penn State-Oregon, Ole Miss-LSU. Lots of good ones to talk about. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah, that is today.
Going on. Across the league.
That's right. That's right.
Across the league.
NBA Media Day.
NBA Media Day is going on today. The Hawks are having theirs. I saw just a little clip of our Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson, asking Trey about his contract, offseason negotiation. Long answer from Trey. Looked like a pretty good back and forth about that, because obviously that's something we had been talking about headed into the offseason.
Right.
Got all these new guys. Team seems like they're going to be pretty good. Sign them up long term. I guess not.
No, they got to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see, which is
a rough game to play.
It's a rough game to play, but a reasonable business strategy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, but you have – if you're Trey, I want my money.
Sure.
Yeah,
and if I'm
money.
Them,
yeah.
Go get it.
I want my money.
You go ball. Let's go back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's do it.
Yeah, let me get my money.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but like today.
Well, no. No, we can't. See, the way our account's set up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let me get my money today.
No, you see, there's a lot of moving pieces here, Trey.
Yeah, I saw Trey was up at the Georgia game. Sorry, Ant-Man was up. Ant-Man was up there.
I saw that.
Yeah, at the Georgia game. But yeah, no, let me get that.
We're going to do the negotiation in whisper like this.
We don't get all that up. Uh-uh. Yeah, we'll get that 200.
We can't do that. How about a team discount? Hometown discount?
With how much are we talking?
I don't know.
How about we talk?
Yeah. That is the thing you can negotiate. One of these leagues you can't negotiate during the season.
I don't know which one
I don't remember
is.
Which one it is, but there's one. I think the NBA, like, you don't see a lot of in-season max contracts given out.
No, you don't.
Anyway, they didn't do that in the offseason. He was asked about it. He did say disappointed. I am disappointed.
You did say?
Yeah, because Caleb asked him, were you disappointed to not get it done? Mm-hmm. And you could see Trey being like, I don't want to say that I'm disappointed.
Right.
Then he was like, I am disappointed. I am disappointed that it didn't get done, which is awesome. It's awesome that he was honest about it. And again, I mean, I think we'd all like to see Trey signed up long term and ball out this year, and he probably will be.
There you go, Caleb.
Let's do a little college football here. Let's start with what should we start with? Do you want to start with Georgia-Alabama? You want to start with Georgia Tech winning their game, coming back, winning in overtime? Which one do you want to do?
Whichever.
You want to do Penn State?
No,
Oregon?
No, let's do local first.
All right, here's Kirby talking about being 1-7 against Alabama.
I don't lose those. I mean, what's everybody else's record against them? You got it? I don't either. Like, I don't lose sleep over that, because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been. I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like, I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I mean, I whatever.
Okay.
You got a Bama. We got a Bama problem. George, we got a Bama problem. We can't.
And also, he is worried about it. Like, it definitely is something that he thinks about.
Yeah, it'll be when this game comes around again, it'll be one inch. Because I do think we're going to see them down the road. It's going to be Kirby's record against Bama. It just is what it is, man. And so when you look at it from the standpoint where you just can't beat this team. I mean, you have beat this team in one of the most important wins of your career and of the program's history. But, yeah, when you're constantly losing to the same team, it you know, especially when it always seems like we're counterpunching back. We're fighting our way back out of a hole that we put ourselves in to get back to where it comes down to, should I take the points or not? He said they always run tempo. He's right about that. I thought Gunnar Stockton got the first down. Then they go hurry up. The play was perfect. It just wasn't blocked good at all. It don't matter who was in there, Cash or anybody, because Cash was already in the game from the previous play.
Right.
If it's blocked right by your young right side of your line, Cash walks in.
Yep.
Cash walks in.
Yep, that's right. But you got young guys over there.
You got young guys.
And Alabama's got great players too.
And he was great, man.
Yeah, he was great.
He was cutting our ass up. You know, to start the 13th, giving up 13 first downs. That's just time away from getting your offense. When we had an opportunity to make plays, we made plays. We were able to run the football. I think that was a big thing. I said to start the show, I love Nate Frazier, and he's going to get more carries, man. But I worry about him and his psyche now, dog, because they were going for the ball.
Yeah, they know.
They know.
Yeah, the book is out.
You know,
and he put it on the ground.
And
again.
He put it like, right on the ground.
Everybody knows that that's his issue. He's a really talented player, but he can't hang on to the football. And then when you got a guy like Chauncey Bowens or whoever it might be, but obviously Saturday it was Chauncey Bowens, he comes in with 12 carries that goes for 119 and a touchdown and was just fantastic, like really played well, then you're going to give him the ball. He also didn't fumble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be a pretty obvious decision there for the coaching staff. But look, I mean, to me, this is the game you expected it to be. Now, again, I didn't expect Georgia to be down 14-0, but maybe we should be expecting Georgia to be down 14-0 because in big games they're always down.
It's like we're always down in these games.
And that to me, among the that's not really like a. That's sort of like an idea that you need to fix. They need to get better at starting faster.
How about we
and
let
allowing,
somebody come back on our ass?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Or not. Or just get a lead and keep it.
Yeah.
Like the specifics for how that happens are a little bit more easy to talk about and fix. You gotta get quarterback pressure, man.
Yeah, man.
Like Ty Simpson was back there
just patting the ball
as comfortable as he wanted
patting
to be.
The ball,
secondary's not doing it, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, but it just seemed like it's not the whole secondary.
Okay. Individuals.
You know, yeah, but I think, what's that, Aguero, who plays the star, you got to tackle him. You got to tackle him.
Yep.
You know, I think that's the one thing. You got to get him on the ground. I think our secondary doesn't tackle well. We're having a hard time with the young boy, but he's so talented. And I don't know where the depth is at the cornerback position. But, yeah, like you just said, where's this pass rush? Where's this pass rush to be able to make him feel uncomfortable? Because Ty Simpson was great.
Yeah, it's an unusual thing to see in the Kirby Smart era for a Georgia team to be pushed around on the offensive line and the defensive line. That's where it's at, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And to not tackle well.
Yep, like, without tackling well.
That's an area where Georgia has been so good, so steady, so consistent. And that showed up a ton. Now, again, to say that and then give up 0 points in the second half, clearly they have the talent.
Yeah, but
they make the adjustments.
That's what I'm saying. Stop having to make the adjustments
right.
And then for us to get back into the game.
Right.
You know, but I mean, yeah, it's just what it is, man. You know, you lost to Bama again, got Kentucky this weekend, noon game. Don't come out flat. You know what I'm saying? It was a disappointing loss up there. It was a very disappointing loss, but there's still so much ball left. You still have all your goals are on the table outside of being undefeated, pretty much. And there it is.
Yep.
And there it is.
The Alabama side of it is that they're 3-1 now. Obviously, they lost that game in week one, but then they beat Georgia again. So I guess Kalen DeBoer can stay.
I guess so now.
That lady wins the Powerball. She's going to spend it on something else.
I have no clue.
All you Bama fans that were ready to ship him back to Seattle a couple of weeks ago, we'll take him.
But I'm just telling you like
send him up.
It's crazy because I never would have thought that game day is going to be in Tuscaloosa for Vandy and Alabama.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is awesome.
There's so many different little things about college football right now that you're like, well, there it is. That's college football today.
Yeah.
That's college football today.
Yeah.
This is college football today. That's it, man. Like teams, programs like that traditionally don't have a shot can get the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And spend a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, and be competitive, which is cool. It's fun. It's fun to see everybody having a chance.
Yeah.
Penn State had an opportunity to, I won't say change the narrative because it's not a narrative.
It's not a narrative.
It's a fact.
Yeah. Just like
they're 4-21 against top 10 teams. So that's not a narrative or an opinion. That's a fact that they don't win those games. Yeah. They had an opportunity to win one. And again, and this is why I don't buy Penn State. Their quarterback made the big mistake in the big moment. Like, Oregon's guy played better, and they made bigger plays down the stretch. Now, credit to them for fighting their way back into it. To be down 17-3 in that moment, and it looked like it was slipping away, to go on two drives and tie it at 17 and send it to overtime. But now, go back and look at Drew Aller in these games. Mm-hmm. He throws interceptions when the game's on.
He doesn't play well. He doesn't play well in the moments where you need him to play his best. And it's not even that he doesn't play. He gives the ball away.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing, too, is – I mean, he's a good player.
Yes.
But he's not a great player.
No, I would not say that. And I think the biggest thing with them is something to say about Georgia. There's so much ball left, you know. And you know, Oregon clearly is a better football team.
They're very good.
Yes, they're very good. And that young man went into that damn place and played his ass off, running and throwing the football.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's when we talk about, can you beat a team that is equal or better than you. And
Dan Lanning can.
Yeah, Dan Lanning is a hell of a damn ball coach.
He wins a lot of games. And then to go in there.
How bad that hurt?
Will
you say it like that?
I don't like saying it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. But, I mean, you talked about Georgia being 1-7 against Bama, so yeah. I figure I should talk about Oregon being good. Turnabout's fair play. He's a really good coach, and he's got a lot of attitude, and I hate it. Yeah. Like, to win that game and then be like, yeah, the whiteout wasn't really that great.
Right.
You know, it's all right. It's a little overrated. I think I was being reasonable about this. It's hard to say. It's hard to say when I talk about Oregon. Am I being reasonable or am I not?
Right.
I never really bought last year's Oregon team just because they just had so many holes. Like, their defense was good but not great. That quarterback was okay. He's a good player. Dylan Gabriel's a good player, but in the biggest
caliber,
moments, Dante Moore might be championship caliber.
No, he's legit, dude.
He's the best quarterback they've had at Oregon since Marcus Mariota.
Ooh, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's saying a lot, right?
He's really
there.
Good.
And you know, and you know that, but damn.
Well, you know what? Justin Herbert was incredibly good there too. But that was it. Had he played in the Chip Kelly teams or had he played for Dan Lanning, it would have been better. He was in that weird little lull where it was like, it was a couple different ones. It was, I think he had the guy that went to Florida State.
Taggart, and then he had Cristobal. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it was not what it is now and what it was then. But no, they're really good. They're a really good team. They're going to beat a lot of teams.
Yeah, they don't like it. They are. We got to put Haynes King in the Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yep.
Why not put his name in there? This dude means so much to this football team. They got off to a raggedy ass start, but were able to find a way to get that win. Indiana almost found out.
Yeah, I mean,
we called that. I said, don't let Iowa eat a death. They almost did.
Yeah, that's what Iowa does.
Yeah, man.
Like,
that's what I was looking for.
You got out of there with your win.
Yep.
You know what? But going at Iowa.
Come on,
sucks.
Yes, it does. And shout out to Lane Kiffin.
They're going to grind
Lane Kiffin,
it to a
that was
pulp.
A big ass win. That fourth down call. Oh, and that was same thing with Bama. Bama had that down. We thought we had him. Oh, I was like,
hey, man.
What a freaking call. There were so many just calls. Like, I was like, I can't. Damn, they got us.
It was like watching like an ex-girlfriend just thrive in that game. There was so many play calls from Grubb and DeBoer that I was like, I remember this.
That play call to ice the game was freaking. Oh, I was
the
like,
Caden Proctor play.
They got it. But they were setting it up. They had a penalty on it before.
Uh-huh.
And so they were setting it up.
No thanks.
They were setting it up.
You couldn't pay me enough money to try to tackle
that
guy.
Get his big ass down.
Look at him. They're going to do it again, and he's going to score a touchdown on somebody. What an absolute monster that guy is. All right. We'll get to an AMA coming up next. You can also call about the Falcons, as always, on Mondays during the AMA. 404-726-0929. Call us up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. AMA. Wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Couple phone lines available if you want to jump on. 404-726-0929. And again, just a reminder, AMA on Mondays can also be reaction to the Falcons game from Sunday as well. Or you can just ask us a question like always, however you want to play it. Mike is in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Andy. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
I got to say, when McCaffrey broke that kick return, I never seen an NFL player mortified to make a tackle. That kicker was, man, I couldn't believe. And he was going to let him run right by him. Dude, hey, Randy, help me out, man. I'm going to hang up and listen, man. That dude was, he lost his man card, man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mike.
No, it's just a kicker, Mike.
Yeah.
Just kicker. You got some.
Not paid to tackle.
You got some that will, like, at all costs, try to avoid contact or anything like that. But, they don't go through tackle drills, Mike.
No,
they don't do none of that.
You seen Parker before?
Yeah.
He's
not the biggest guy in the world. So
how much of it is, because we see some kickers or punters that do search it out if they played in high school.
You see what they do, but you see where they get them at. They get them on the sideline.
Right.
When they get knocked out.
Who was the one the Falcons had a couple? Was it Matt Bosher?
Yes.
That, like, suplexed the guy?
Yes. They,
that was pretty
good. They
got
to make sure they're close to the sideline so they can get so.
But we also remember the ones because they happened.
I remember the ones.
So
that's why I've been a part of was Donnie Jones. Donnie Jones was a punter at LSU, played for Nick. He played in Seattle.
Okay.
He played in Seattle. And then he came to Miami when Nick got there. And, God, I think it was, I can't remember who we were playing. And he punted the ball on our sideline. It was a touchdown. And I want to know if Donnie had the face mask, the real, real old school face mask. Donnie hit that damn returner so damn hard. Like, it might have been Pack. I think it might have been Pack. But, I mean, he hit the dude's returner so damn hard. Like, he was parallel. Like, they were just flat.
But the Georgia punter last year made a great tackle in the SEC championship game or the one of the games.
He got hurt in the SEC championship game.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, he got hurt later on.
He made a huge play in one of those games. And then you got the flip side of it where you got, like, Antonio Brown drop kicking the guy.
I was just going to ask if you guys know who Spencer Lanning is. That's the guy Antonio Brown put his foot in the chest of.
He drop kicked him. Oh. All right, James is in College Park. Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on? I got two quick questions. One, do you guys think Kirby Smart is, like, the best in-game adjuster as far as coaches go? And secondly, is the quarterback for Alabama that good, or is it just too close to call? Appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you, James.
Is Kirby one of the best in-game adjusters? Hell yeah. He damn sure is. I think Ty Simpson's good. Yeah, I think Ty Simpson can play.
I didn't realize he could move like that.
Yeah, me too. But no, yeah, Ty Simpson is he's a good player. He's in the right system with Kalen, mm-hmm. and I think that he's going to get better and better. Bama's going to be somebody to reckon with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean that, coming into the year,
they can even run the ball.
Right.
They can run the ball.
Yeah, and Jim Miller was back.
Yeah,
but still
exactly.
Looked like he's kind of dealing with it. He did have 16 carries, but for 46 yards, as he sort of gets better, they work him back into it. Yeah, no, I mean, that was the weirdest part about the first game they played was we thought that offensive line, and they looked really good on Saturday. We thought that offensive line was going to be fantastic, and they got moved all over the place by Florida State. And then that defense, we thought, and again, looked pretty good on Saturday, would be one of the best units in the country, and they didn't look good at all against Florida State.
Right.
So, but you're allowed to get better.
That's a thing.
That's the thing about these seasons being 12, 13, 14, 15 games long, if you're lucky. You're allowed to be a better team on the fourth week of September than you were in the last weekend of August.
Yes.
You're allowed to get better in October.
It's going to happen.
And you're allowed to get better in November, too.
Yeah.
If you got good coaches like both of these teams do,
you're going to get better. Exactly.
I know. We decide what a team does. Because here, I understand why. We spend 8 months talking about it, and then they play one game, and it doesn't live up to your expectation. Mm-hmm. And then that player, that team, that coach, they all suck, and they need to be fired.
Somebody said Kirby need to be fired. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Get out your damn promotions.
Yeah.
Get out your damn promotions.
I don't. Even the most emotional, I don't understand that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize DeBoer hasn't earned anything from the Alabama folks, so I understand some of the reaction there. But, like, come on, man. Kirby got you two national championships.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty good run.
Yeah.
And then Georgia's still incredible. It's 3-1. All right. Anyway, Tababi is in Atlanta. Hey, Tababi.
Hey, Andy and Randy. Happy belated birthday, Andy.
Thank you.
So, as I've mentioned before, wife's an Arkansas alum. Mm. And over the weekend, she was watching a game, and it was not going well. And I proceeded to change the TV because I said she was not going to stress my child out. And she got very upset with me.
Yes.
I'm still in the doghouse. What is something y'all did when y'all's wife was pregnant that just got you put in the absolute doghouse, and how'd you get yourself out of it?
Oh, man. My wife, she was cool pregnant. She wasn't really moody and things like that. So, no more than I usually do whenever she's mad at me.
I don't think Ashley was pregnant when she almost divorced me over Appalachian State.
Yeah, I remember that because her dumb ass picked against him.
Yeah.
I looked at you.
I bet against him.
I remember I said to you, I was like, you sure about that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And I, you know.
Dude.
I think I get it.
Dude, she was.
I mean, I won the bet.
Dude, she was hot. Right?
Yeah, no, she's never been that mad at me.
Yes.
Genuinely.
Yes.
It is without question. I don't even know what second.
I don't know.
Without question, the number one most angry she's ever been at me.
I just remember when you
did that. When she found out that I bet that Coastal Carolina was going to not only beat up, but cover the spread.
Yep.
And they did.
Yep.
I was right. And I bet, I don't know, 50 bucks on it or something like that.
I remember saying to you.
She was so mad.
I remember saying
she left.
To you. I was like, you sure you want to do that?
No, she wasn't because Lily was born.
Yeah.
I think like, I was like, oh, you're all right. See ya. She left. She left the house. That's the most mad. I don't remember, like during pregnancy, I don't remember. Like, because her first pregnancy was during COVID. So we were just at home.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything to get in the doghouse.
I had to, because I know I had to get a new mattress for the apartment out in San Diego because the bed was just, it was big enough. And then they got, did your wife have that big ass U thing? The big ass pillow thing?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? Did she have one of them?
It, like a body pillow?
That body pillow, that raggedy ass one that all us hate but them.
The one you sit up and lean on?
No, I forgot the name of the damn thing.
She has I mean, look, we got pillows.
Yes. Somebody called in AMA on Thursday about the damn pillows.
We got pillows.
Do y'all wives buy all those pillows? I said, Andy's wife does.
Yeah, we got more pillows than.
So I had to get new mattresses. And she was mad about that because I got one that she didn't want or something. Mm. I was just like, shout it. Yeah, you were just fine just a second ago.
The first pregnancy, we had our old mattress, but then at the hospital, you know, they have that, you know, that mm-hmm. bed that moves.
Yeah.
So that she bought one.
Yeah.
So now we have a movable base.
Sweet.
It's fine.
It's all right.
It's overrated.
Yeah.
No offense to the people that invented the movable base. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, just put some pillows back there. You know? We got plenty of pillows.
Y'all do.
I don't need the bed to go.
Did she move it when you sleep?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Just like if we're watching a movie or something like that. But again,
is it the whole bed or can half go up, half stay flat?
You can do that, or you can do the thing where the feet go up too.
Uh-huh. Oh, I meant side by side.
Oh no, it's the whole bed.
Okay,
we're both.
If she's up, you're up.
We're both in it, but it doesn't even vibrate. My thing is, if you're gonna have a movable base, at least
tell me this. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
I
had a vibrating base when I lived in Portland.
Oh, you did really?
Yeah.
Oh no, I just remember the one at the hotel room.
Oh, the quarter machine?
The quarter machine?
I never had that.
Oh, yeah.
I never did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
15 minutes?
Yeah, dog. Yeah, that was an adventure.
that's the worst because there's a timer on it.
Dog, hold on. Why did it all the way back? You had a vibrating bed in Portland?
Yeah, I had a mattress endorsement. So I was doing like whatever mattress firm or whatever company it is.
Right.
They were like, yeah, come on by, pick out a mattress. And I was like, can I get the nicest, most expensive one?
Yeah.
They were like, you can get whatever one you want.
Right.
So I had like a Tempur-Pedic hybrid crystal, whatever, foam fit, you name it.
Right.
And the king size just for me because I live by myself in Portland. And there was a movable base and on that. So when she came to visit.
I was about to say, yeah. So when you
vibrate that
bad
boy.
How'd you sleep?
Like a baby.
Okay.
Yeah, I slept great.
With the vibrations?
I didn't do a lot of vibrating solo.
Oh, okay.
Didn't do a lot of solo vibrating. I don't need to set the mood that well for myself. Mike's in Henry County. Hey, Mike.
Oh, how you doing, gentlemen?
Pretty good.
First of all, enjoy listening to you.
Thanks.
And I wish I could ask you 1,000 questions, but I have a couple defensive questions. Is it really, really that hard on the field for linebackers to realize these receivers are running their routes and setting up right behind them? Because I see a lot of times balls coming right over their head and they barely missing the ball. And secondly, the running back. Isn't someone assigned to that running back on every defensive play? I don't understand why they're wide open. Okay. And I'll sit back and listen. Thank you for your help.
Thanks, Mike. Well, I think a lot of times it just depends on the coverage that they're doing, because a lot of times they're reading the quarterback's eyes. They're not really looking what's behind them. A lot of times you find holes in the zones and all those different things like that. So that's what I attribute to. I understand what he's saying, because, like, why the hell is he open? Who has him? Who's guard? A lot of times it's, you know, it just happens. They pay them to. They pay them to scheme. They pay them to get open. And a lot of times, you know, you're not necessarily that's your man, but that's your zone. And somebody gets out of his zone. A lot of times it could be a situation where there's a play or a route that's opening up the zone where the Mike linebacker or the outside linebacker might have to he's coming in his zone. He might have to turn his back. It's so many different reasons why people get open like that. I understand what you're saying.
I think people also have to remember the speed at which
it's so fast.
All of that is happening.
It's so fast.
Because, you know, you'll pause it, or they'll have it in slow-mo, or they'll give you a little screenshot, and it makes the defensive player look like they're clueless.
Yep.
It's all happening at light speed, man. Like, you make one little turn your head that way or one false step or whatever,
mm-hmm. you're done.
Mm-hmm. It does amaze me sometimes, though, the way that the quarterback can just kind of see the momentum of the defense going that way. And, like, Gunnar Stockton made a throw, the late one to Branch, mm-hmm. into, like, triple coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And over the top of a linebacker, safety's coming, like, and he fits it right in there. I was like, that was a great throw.
Dude, I'm
like,
telling you, about these phones in Syria, almost got me sending my wife a text message talking to you. So how do you sleep? How did you sleep with all that vibration?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, boy.
You can't. That's a hard one to explain
away. That's a hard one to come back from.
Now, luckily, and I think they got the Odyssey app working again, because I know it was glitching this morning.
No, baby. You got
rewind it.
No. You got to rewind it.
Rewind it.
You got to rewind it.
149.
Yeah.
You're in the clear.
I'm like, oh, hell. I'm about to get in all kind of damn.
Who was that supposed to be for?
Who was that supposed to be for? Talking to Andy about his vibrating bed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
like, I've never had this happen to me, but I've seen it where, like, guys responding to wives, and instead of, like, no problem or yeah, sure, it auto corrects to, like, yeah, Sue,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's Sue?
Huh?
No, sure, I meant to say sure, it's one letter off.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, right, let me see your phone.
Yeah, dog.
Then you're in trouble.
Then you're in damn trouble.
Tia is in Lithonia. Hey, Tia.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tia.
Thank you so much. Hey, you guys need to be on from 7 to 3:30 so I can listen to y'all all day. But my question is, when it's 4th and 1, 4th and inches, why don't offensive coordinators just run the ball?
Because they're,
like,
dumb.
Why do they do that?
They're dumb. They're idiots. I don't know. It's so frustrating. There's two things that frustrate the hell out of my football. One is that short yardage in the damn gun and pistol.
Right.
It irritates the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. Two, not being able to do the damn victory formation.
Mm.
I don't know who, I forgot what his college game, and they were snapping the ball, like in a shotgun snap, in victory formation. drove me freaking out of my mind. It was Ole Miss. LSU. He's in a gun. And, drove me freaking crazy.
Because even in that formation, don't know how to be under center.
You don't know how to be under center. Even in that formation.
Yeah.
What?
It is pretty wild.
It's crazy.
Like, we went from decades of under center football being like shotgun was the outlier.
Yes.
Like, nobody ran shotgun. Maybe a couple plays a game.
A couple plays a game.
But not much.
A couple plays a game.
Now you can't even get under center for the victory.
A couple plays a game, you would be in shotgun. All right? A couple plays. And it's usually always on third down.
Right.
You've been in shotgun.
Right. Now,
look at, okay, no. That was pretty funny right there with Fred Warner trying to get the ball on the victory against Jacksonville. There you go. Knock his ass out. There you go.
Yeah, don't do that.
But yeah, that's I don't understand short yardage anymore like I used to. Either the tush push or it's a quarterback not under center, and then whatever.
Yeah. The answer
with
is
with no lead blocker.
I don't know.
They run a belly on 4th and 1 with no lead blocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, let's get takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right here. Bunk has his outfit already ready for the peach patch. Any other vibrating bed? For the pumpkin patch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the
we're ready. That's top five day of the year.
Yeah.
Abe was getting cussed out, and he didn't know it. On Friday and today.
Yeah.
Falcons got a lot of.
But now I know it wasn't you that took the clip and put it on.
You were getting cussed out. You were catching strays.
Yeah, I was like, who? It wasn't you.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't you.
Now you're in the clear.
All right.
Falcons got a lot of disputable players on both sides of the ball.
Hey, man.
And I don't know, who was it? James? Hey, look here, man. Fantasy football brings money and fans to the NFL. Stop trying to tell people what they can and can't be mad at.
He got real salty.
He double-birded James.
He double-birded
James. Didn't know that, but now he knows.
One activity that has the full endorsement of Andy Bunker, gem mining.
Yes.
And, not a lot of need to vibrate solo.
Yeah, none at all.